Gentlemen, welcome to the No Cash, No Code podcast, yet another pod. Game week 24, it was an interesting one. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your commissioner, Andre Clark, and I am joined by Tom Maxwell. I decided to drop the rest of it. It's going up and down. It's a yo-yo. It's a slobber knocker. It's so much fun to watch. I don't need to back any horse in this. I'm enjoying being the spectator of what is a currently 2-point title race. Tom Maxwell, how are you?
Doing very well, Andre. Thank you. And would echo that it's very fun up at that end of the table, and not just the 2-point title race between the top of between myself and who am I competing with? I've completely lost my train of thought.
You're not always looking at his team, but okay.
So Damien, yes, as you say, Damien and I 2 points away from each other, but I would also add Harry on an absolute tear up at the moment. Stephen as well. Just like in the Premier League, we've got a proper title race this year, and it's A, very nice to be part of it, and B, very good fun.
Not sure if I'd be offended if I'm Harry and Stephen Hill there being the Tottenham and Arsenal in that race. But I think it's a little horse. No, Harry has been on an absolute tear. I'm sure we're going to talk about him. And if Stephen's ever within striking distance, then he's within striking distance. Like, yeah, it is what it is with that guy. So no one is stunned to see the all-time greatest No Cash, No Code manager up there where it counts. And even the next group down, some good names in there. Dylan has been there or thereabouts recently. Freddie's got a couple of titles. And Nevin's also, I think he's got a couple of silvers, hasn't he? Yeah, back-to-back silvers. So yeah, it's a good group. And I'm going to cut it off there just to annoy Jamie. All right, where should we start?
Why don't you give us a bit of a rundown? I'll let you do it this week. Why don't you tell us what you watched this week and what happened?
Pressure's on. Analysis of these games sponsored by Stats Red after the game has actually happened. Right, so the game week was won and lost for many in game week one. I was shocked with how many non-Haaland captainers there are. So first game of the week, Haaland versus Everton. There's a leak before the game, then a leak, then a leak, then a leak. I'm sure we're going to get into how that affected people's teams. Did not affect Haaland. 2 goals as captain, foremost. If you didn't captain him, you're behind the sofa for the start of that game anyway, and you pretty much stayed there for the rest of the week. Then there's some insignificant games like Fulham versus Bournemouth. The only Solanke owners actually cared about that one, an assist that made it worthwhile as far as they were concerned for the hoddle. Then you've got Liverpool versus Burnley. A big game in fantasy, loads of people loading up. But the story is probably what didn't happen in terms of TAA starting the game and not finishing it off at halftime. 3-1 Liverpool, a sigh of relief for Darwin owners. I just can't live that life. I don't understand how people are happy to do it. A sigh of relief for Darwin owners, and a pretty unhappy ride for Jota owners, because it started off so well. We expected so much more. I'm asleep pretty much after this game, to be fair. But then you've got Luton versus Sheffield. It turns out Luton are not the new coming of fantasy points. Shout out Doherty for all of that swinging balls in for no reason whatsoever. Although there was an assist for a striker. Spurs versus Brighton, probably disappointed fantasy owners with the likes of Pedro and Richarlison not really showing up. It was the return of the sun. Then Wolves versus Brentford in a game that only the guys who were looking at doubles were focused on. Tony doing Tony things and a returning Reguilon. Right, for me, is the end of Saturday. For you guys, I think Forest versus Newcastle was the final game of the night. But who cares about that 3-2? Let's talk about what happened next. West Ham 0, Arsenal 6. I could do a whole pod about that game alone. Joyous, not just because of the fantasy points.
Best moment of the season for you?
I'm a 49ers fan, and I was able to survive what is a bank holiday Monday over here on very little sleep, still dancing on cloud nine and wondering how he hit that so cleanly and was able to control his emotions afterwards with our boy Royce, all £100 million worth of him. A tactical masterclass, wonderfully delivered. And fantasy points all round in an Arsenal 6, West Ham 0. Shout out to Colin. Then we went into the lesser owned games. lesser owned, I guess, because people started to change pieces around. So we're talking Watkins in the 1-2 loss to Man United. Yet again, points for McTominay. Yet again, points for Hoyland, who's in no one's teams. Listener, you can't actually see what happened there, but I wish you could see the replay reaction from Dave McTominay there with a double fist pump, a la Alan Shearer scoring a goal there from Tom Maxwell. How did that one feel?
Oh, I don't own him anymore, but I just have so much love for Scott and genuinely believe that if United started him every week, he'd score 20 plus goals this season. He doesn't offer anything else, so I do understand why they don't start him. But he's got to be, you know how basketball have sixth man of the year for the people that come off the bench. I mean, he would be winning that by a country mile. I think he's got 7 goals this season now. And they're very often big goals, and that one certainly was a big goal.
It does show how the Premier League has changed as well, right? With the multiple substitutions. I was talking about this with other geeks the other day, and Bossard Trossard is like one of our most important players because he does a job every single time, and he's got so many off the goal injury, off the bench injury timers. But McTominay, the club and country, is just on a different level. And then, well, I said the week started and was ended pretty much by the first game of the week, but for a lot of us, it was actually started or ended by the last game of the week. Chelsea 3, Crystal Palace 1. There's only one person that most of us care about. Many hid behind a sofa while benching him. Most thought they'd got away with it. Some, like myself, had even got him out of the club. But Palmer did what Palmer's been doing all season. Now, that is a man I know you love. 93 minutes of nothingness and then 3 minutes of joy. What was the Palmer performance like?
Well, it was overshadowed by the Connor performance, my two favourite Chelsea players. Conor Gallagher ran the show up until the last 3 minutes, and then Cold Palmer took over.
I would love it.
My overall rank, I think, went from something like 6K to 12K in the space of 3 minutes, as a non-Palmer owner, but he is just on a different level to the rest of our useless bunch. And you know, I mean, Crystal Palace are a woeful football team at the moment. They're lacking a lot of their best players. Their defense looks more League One than Championship, if I'm honest. So it was nice to see us win a game that we should have won. And very pleased that Palmer came to town. As you say, a lot of people benching him. And I think, you know, before we get into it, Andre, you and I both wildcarded last week. And you know, that was
Ooh.
a that there were three or four of us that did so in no cash, no code. There were
Yep.
some pretty big swings and roundabouts as to whether that was the right decision on a 1 week basis. You know full well that I got pretty lucky with the De Bruyne
Okay.
news.
No. They've got a section for that.
You want to
So
come to that later?
we're
That's
going to come
fine.
to that. I do.
Let's.
And I also, on the same note, this is irrelevant, but I need to get this off my chest. This is a very Arsenal-based rant on that last game. Vieira was never that bad a manager. Crystal Palace are just that bad a team. They're in exactly the same spot as they were in previously. When everyone's fit and everything's flying and they've got the right fixtures, they can win a few games because they've got some absolute talent. And as soon as they've got a couple of those guys out, they're just a dreadful team that just aren't in very good. I don't think Roy has done a particularly good job or bad job. I think they're exactly the same as they were previously. So I'm happy to see them down there, even though they should be my second team as being the one closest to my house overall. That was rant number one. And rant number two, to feel that Arsenal bottled the title last year when we had Rob Holding playing centre back, who cannot get a game for that Crystal Palace team, it just shows you the levels of drop that we had to go through that title run. So, anyway, enough indulging me. I'm going to skip to one, actually. I was going to go through this, but you've come to it early. I'm going to revive the better lucky than good. So let's talk about it. Game one, I mean, leaks are here to stay. It's an awful time zone for me to be having to listen to someone I don't particularly like on YouTube to tell me what's likely to be happening. How did you feel when you got the KDB news?
So you know this because I was updating you live, but I was sat in my 3-year-old daughter's ballet class with a bit of a hangover, sat at the back, all of the other parents paying enormous attention to their children and the ballet dancing that was going on. I was looking at my phone, refreshing Twitter, trying to find out what was going on with KDB. And with about 10 minutes to go, with him very firmly in my wild card, saw the news that he was likely to be out, had an absolute sort of meltdown. The ballet couldn't have been less important at this point. And, I realize that doesn't sound great, listener, but if you're going to spend every week in a busy working week putting together an FPL podcast, you've got to care enough. And so last minute
Dedication.
panic, brought Saka back in for KDB. And, that may prove not to be the right decision coming up over a double game week. But I think it would be fair to say that KDB's going to have to score 11 plus points more than Saka does away at Burnley this week for that to end up not being the right decision. But I agree that it was more lucky than good because I definitely was not planning to have him in my team.
Saka, one of the stars of the week there, like 15 pointer. Is he probably the highest scoring, well-owned person overall? So that would have really, it'd be a very different wild card story for you if it wasn't that. I've got some inside information on other people. I'm going to come back to someone else who was better lucky than be good when we get through some of the other awards, but other people's reaction. So you can tell from who's really geeking out this year. Well aware that Bradley Lewington is definitely someone who had at least an airport in at the ballet or wherever he was, decides to bench De Bruyne and play Ross Barkley in his team. That didn't quite work out, but it's only a 2 point swing. And then we've also got obvious intent from Jamie Cork on a wild card. Did not do what you do and remove De Bruyne, just simply slid him to the bench and decided he was also going to start Garnacho and Barkley. I'm sure one of those two was sitting on his bench previously. So there's going to be some pain for those guys on who they chose to bench and who they chose to start. But yeah, the leaks are obviously here to stay. Let's move on to the actual awards themselves, shall we? Over to you, my friend. Let's start with Team of the Week.
Let's start with Team of the Week, but just a very quick shout out now that you've mentioned him, because it's not very, but Jamie Cork, currently most informed manager in No Cash, No Code, most points over the last 5 weeks. That's obviously
Five.
straddled
Oof.
over 2 months, and so hasn't necessarily translated into Manager of the Month, but he's right up there for this month. So just quick shout out to Jamie. So Manager of the Month, it was a month, sorry, Manager of the Week was a week where anything sub 80 points was not going to get you in the conversation. Lowest score of the week was 50. We'll get onto that later. But there were quite a few tightly bunched between sort of 75 and 85. Let's just focus then on the top three. With 84 points, we've got Tom Kane. Great week for him. 84, big green arrow. Kept Palmer in the team. Kept Saka in the team, Gabriel, all the people that you would expect. Haaland cap clearly was going to be pretty critical this week as well. Not much else exciting, but just really good, consistent 84 points. Then we've got Stephen Hill doing very well over the last few weeks. 86 points for him, up to 78K in the world. He's got a Jota, a Saka, a Saliba, again, Haaland cap. 10 points for Douglas Luiz on the bench. The continued Douglas Luiz bench points for anyone who's owned him at any point this season, continuing to come to the fore. Also took out Gross and Trippier, both of whom scored points, replaced with Diego Jota, who did get his goal, and obviously teeing up nicely for the double. But Gross scored again for Brighton. What a good pick he's been, by the way, for those that have held on to him. I know he was one you and I talked a lot about a couple of weeks ago. Neither of us went there. He's done very well.
No,
And then
I held him. I held him for three blanks and then I got rid and he's gone mental since. Gross by name. Anyway, so.
then Guardiol, certainly a bit of a hurt award all to himself this week. And he was brought in for Trippier, now looking like he's going to be out for the double as well. So, quite tough scenes there, but 86 points. But manager of the month, absolutely no doubting this. Even with the hit, he was 6 points clear of anyone else. The aforementioned Harry in unbelievably good form at the moment, 96 points. for him. A minus four will give him 92. Again, brought in Gvardiol, but did so for Porro, who didn't come to the party. Jota in for Richarlison. So he's replaced his Tottenham players with one eye on the blank that is coming up. Pretty unfortunate that he's replaced them with Jota, who doesn't play next week, and Gvardiol, who's not going to play this week. So there is a little bit of a blotting of the copybook
No,
there, but.
you're giving this guy far too much. All right, so I paused myself earlier. Better luck to be lucky than good. Both of the last two people were unlucky to bring in Gvardiol. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
They both got Saliba off the bench.
Yeah.
They both would have got a Man City defender who at best six.
Yeah.
Never going to be the 12 pointer. So the reason I had insight into this one. So I was not at my daughter's ballet. I was actually just coming back from my son and daughter's football. And for some reason, I convinced myself the kickoff is embarrassing for someone who does a podcast on this. I convinced myself it was an 8 o'clock deadline rather than a 7 p.m. deadline. I booked in a dog walk. It's bank holiday weekend. Dog is my responsibility. And I'm getting ready to go out for the dog walk. And then Harry, bless you, Harry, pings me, Haaland starts. I'm like, what? I realized my timing is out. Harry was very much in the thick of it. That's when I started messaging you. So Harry broke the news to me on KDB. I, listener, was also on a wild card. KDB out for Richarlison at the last moment. Didn't work out, obviously, but at least we had the info. And he was really unlucky to be literally doing everything you're supposed to be doing to be a top three manager in No Cash, No Code, and following the leaks only to find they didn't give the news about his particular Man City defender until 10:59 on your 11 o'clock deadline basis. So it was an emotional roller coaster from him. WhatsApp messages from words I can't say because I want to make sure this podcast doesn't have to tick the explicit box, to the few, to again use the different word on Saliba being his team, to the have I just pulled off team of the week with a minus four smiley face emojis. So, yes, you have, my friend, and you are also, in my opinion, the winner of the lesser spotted, better to be lucky than good award.
Yeah, no, that's it's very fair. And there were, as we will get on to, lots of bench points around, but there were also enough injuries out there to scupper it. Just as an aside as well, you mentioned it earlier. I tell you what, not being a Trent owner, I wasn't watching the game, but with the assist and Liverpool clean sheet at the point that he came off as well, I was looking at, I'd gone with Virgil to save the money. And my goodness, there's some luck involved there coming into a game, double game week, where Trent could have scored, I mean, God knows how many points this coming week. And instead, you've got a load of people who are having to book in another transfer in order to get him out.
I mean, it was the I've got no team value, so it was like I'm gonna have to live with this type decision, and that we got away with one. Like that is
Big time.
really
Big
probably
time.
the real hurt award that's not gonna be given as a hurt award. You've built it in, you've carried the cost for some, carried him for quite some time, ready for this moment, only to have that happen. And it's been really disproportionate as well. It's like everyone, I'm looking at it now. The owners, there are many of Trent. Obviously, this is up until the game week that's about to happen. Many owners, but it's really disproportional for those who are down on their luck at the moment. Like, if you were looking at last week's scores, the bottom five scorers all have Trent in their team. Coincidence? Probably not, even with his four pointer.
No,
So,
it's very
I
true.
mean,
Very true. Just to finish on Harry, though, just want to give him his dues here. Absolutely on fire at the moment, as we've said. Four green arrows out of the last five. 63K in the world this week, which is a serious finish. Up to 53K overall. Very much his highest point of the season so far. He's been very consistently dropping. He was 1.4 million in game week seven. Got down into the 300,000s, 400,000s by game week 15, has been in the 100,000s for the last 8 weeks, finally broken in with a bang, 53K in the world, very, very much still in the title race. It'll be very interesting to see what he does this week with both Trent and Guardiola out. Yeah, he's absolutely on a tear up and very much in the conversation for Manager of the Month award. We've got 2 weeks left, one big double game week, one blank week. Currently, Stephen Hill is leading the way. Harry is in third, equals 7 points behind, but we've got five people within 8 points of each other at the top. So by the end of this week,
Fantastic.
we should have a good picture of what's going to happen.
I was with you until that last statement. If we've learned anything from the no-code manager of the month, it was going into the last week of the month, we have no idea what's going to happen. Because if I was Ali, I was spending all of that winning. All right, some massive scores. We've covered a few of the names that we know and love, the Salibas, the Sakas, the Gabriels. How hard was it to find a pick of the week this week?
Oh,
Who stood out that wasn't well owned?
almost impossible, Andre. As you know, we're always looking for the player with the highest score who's only owned once. There was a Flecken. There was another Brentford defender whose name slips my mind. We had a couple of other
Collins.
players, Harry Maguire, Collins, exactly, Harry Maguire. These players, all owned by only one person, all left on the bench. So we've had to really scrabble around to find a pick of the week. And do you know where we found him? At the very, very bottom of the table. A man who has
No
well and truly given up with no cash, no code, to the point that he is currently playing a three-man midfield of Cole Palmer, Raheem Sterling, and Enzo Fernandez, the full Chelsea triumvirate. Could you think of a more depressing place if you were paying attention to be on a Saturday afternoon than having to watch a Chelsea game knowing you've got all three of your midfielders? But he has got Enzo, who is finally starting to show why, at the back end of last season, all the Chelsea fans were pretty excited about him. He's had a really tough run with injuries, playing alongside a different partner every week in midfield. I could go on with various excuses for him, but really starting to come to the party now. He got a 93rd minute goal set up by Cole Palmer to get him 8 points, and pick of the week goes to Noel Marshall, bottom of the table, 6.4 million in the world. A man who, if he listens to this podcast, would be absolutely amazing based on how little he seems to care about FPL, but I need to give him a shout out.
He is a listener and he's a Chelsea fan. I love the way he's like, I've thrown out my toys, the season over, but I'm just going to pick my three Chelsea boys and then watch them go. I actually spoke to him this week, so I know he's still very much a listener, so this is going to be fun. Maybe this will be it. He'll be back for the cup run anyway, which we're going to talk about at the end of this podcast. So good to have that one. Oof. All right, is that enough of the good stuff? Shall we get
That's the
into
good
the
stuff. Should we focus on the bad stuff?
Let's go with the hurt. I've got some scraps. I've got some bits that I want to go through, but you've got the mic. Where do you want to start?
So let me just give you a few options, and then you can add slash make a call yourself. There's a couple that are a bit niche here. Let me start with George Johnson, a man who we've talked about in so many positive ways over the last few weeks. He's had a really, really terrific little run of it. But you and I both know George Johnson's terrific runs tend to be followed by some of the most heinous FPL management that we see. And this is a bit of an unfortunate one, if I'm completely honest, because you can see why he's done it. But transfer-wise for George this week, he wants Haaland, and his only route to Haaland is to get rid of Saka and to upgrade Julian Alvarez to Haaland. And that is fine. Look, we've already talked about the fact that Saka was not going to be in my wildcard team. So there's nothing wrong with what he's done. It's just pretty unfortunate that the person he's replaced Saka with is a Tottenham player who's not got a double this week and is not going to be playing next week in Papa Sarr, who's having a great season, back from injury, Tottenham back to full strength now. But the fact that he then left Sarr on his bench and scored 8 points whilst dropping Saka, who scored 15 points, means that the upside of bringing Haaland in for me is somewhat negated. And I'm looking forward to seeing what George does with this team over the next couple of weeks. He's got a couple of Spurs, three Spurs players. I think he's the only person in the league who has three Spurs players. And none of them are going to play. He's got a Gomez as well from Liverpool, who's obviously not going to play next week either. So going to be interesting to see how he maneuvers himself. Albeit, we know that George only takes it seriously when he's on for manager of the month. So let's see where that goes.
Used his wild card already as well, so like trying to work out how he's going to get through this period of time. It's going to be interesting, but yeah, he's taking his money off the table and he's cashed out and walked away again, as one would expect from George. Who else you got?
Ali Maxwell, most bench points of the week, missed the deadline, has been in really good form actually over the last few weeks. Obviously, we know he was up for manager of the month last month. He had another good start this month. He had another green arrow this week, but he missed the deadline and ended up with Diogo Jota, a player that you absolutely wouldn't bench given the home game he had. First on the bench with 7 points. Raheem Sterling sat on the bench for Chelsea, did come on with the last 10 minutes to block that. And then also Gabriel's 12 on the bench whilst playing Van Hek, which I don't think anyone would do in their right mind. So 19 points on his bench. Hard to feel sorry for him given that he missed the
I was
deadline.
going to say,
That was
that's on you.
exactly. So that's one. And then maybe just two more very quickly. One was Bradley. Now, you mentioned him earlier. He, like you and I, pulled his wild card. And it didn't go necessarily as well as he would have liked. 69 points for him. What is worse, though, is what he took out. And if you look at the team that he would have had he not wild carded, which
Oh, that's
included a
pretty.
Senesi, it included a Trippier, it included Saka, Palmer, it included Gabriel, it included Darwin, and it included Flecken, who obviously scored big points himself. I think I'm right in saying it was something like 7 or 8 points that he lost on his wild card. So you and I both know we're doing the wild card for the longer term, and certainly for this week and next week. He's got a really good looking team set up for this week, particularly with Connor Bradley, by the way, who may well get some starts for Liverpool with Trent out. But I just wanted to flag that it was probably a week he didn't need to wild card in hindsight.
Yeah, these are really, really good options. Are you leaning to? I'm going to add a couple actually before we go with our final decision. So I
I've
saw the
got one
same.
more. I've
Oh,
got one
okay,
more
you
who you
can go
may well
first.
have as well, but we can't not mention Will Brocks
Yeah, okay, there
for this
we
week. He
go.
obviously has again had a very, very good run of it more recently. We know there's a big asterisk against his name, but I suppose the asterisk may be fading as the season goes on due to the fact that he joined the season late, just in time to try and have a good run at Manager of the Month. But only 50 points this week in a week where, as discussed, the manager of the week scored 92. His charge up the league table has been well and truly halted. He's gone from 6th to 12th in 1 week, and it's a team that just didn't hit any of the right notes. Gabriel on his bench for 12 was really tough. He brought in Richarlison for Gordon, no points for Rich. He's not got Haaland in a week where everyone captained him. He does have Saka. That was the one saving grace, but tough scenes for Will.
He was one of my nominations, if not the nomination for me. Like, the lowest score in the entire league, including dead teams, is pretty punchy. I've got a couple I'd like to add on top, and then I think we go for a vote. And there's some surprising names in here. So I did the same as you in terms of the bench point, and I discounted Ali as soon as you told me in terms of why. Nevin's an active manager. He's a Brentford fan. He's the only person I think that started a Brentford defender and Tony together. So 12 points there. Fantastic. He's got one of the biggest benches and it's all in one player. Tough decisions, I know, but Saka, first reserve on your bench. That means he's up to 18 points on the bench. That's going to really sting. What's really funny, we've been talking about this all season about the quality of benches this year and how it's going to hurt you. The other people in that echelon are all up in that echelon. We've given Jamie a lot of love, but 17 points on his bench. And then the one that you should definitely be slightly happy about. You've dodged a bit of a bullet there. I mean, Damien's score is good, but he's got a massive, what's that, 15, 16, 17 points on the bench himself with Gabriel. questionable decision on Pedro Porro, maybe, but you can see why Trippier and Trent Alexander. I mean, obviously, that's one of the big differentiators between your two teams. For Trent to not play more than he did, and for Gabriel to be on the bench, is an absolute double whammy in what is a very tough title race. I think because of what's at stake, he's got to be up there for that's really, really going to hurt. And now he's found out that your Saka was a last minute trade as well. I mean, the difference could have been sizable between your two teams had that have gone
Perfect.
in different directions.
Yeah,
With that said,
and I needed a boost after going from 40 odd points clear to being behind in the space of 2 or 3 weeks. So no, I couldn't agree more.
so my two nominees, Damien at the top and Brox at the bottom. Those bottom of the week, not overall, are the two. Does it hurt more when it means more, but you've got lots of weeks to go? Or does it, and then you made a really strong case for a wild card that does what that just did at 69, because we all know the effort or the sleepless night that goes into a wild card. I'm torn. I think those are my top three. Where are you leaning towards?
So I've got to give it to Broxy, and it's simply because from game week 12 to game week 23, he had 10 green arrows out of 12, but they were
Oof.
all sort of minor green arrows. He's inched his way up bit by bit by bit into the top. 250,000 was where he was, and he's dropped basically back down to where he was 7 weeks ago in 1 week. 8.6 million in the world for the game week, 50 points. I just can't. I think that has to hurt more
Ooh, ooh,
when you've
ooh,
been
ooh.
so disciplined to get all the way up there to lose it all in 1 week.
I've got a final nail in the coffin. It's definitely Brox, 100%. The final nail in the coffin, like, it's been controversial on Twitter for guys like me who can't follow that much football. I have to rely on stats and stuff off Twitter. It's been controversial how this leak thing works at the best of times. We've spoken at length about your Saka trade. Brox is the other end of that trade. If he gets the De Bruyne news, bearing in mind his bench scored 0, 0, and 12, I'm pretty certain he would have benched De Bruyne because he's not on a wild card, knowing he's not starting. He only has one option coming off his bench. He would have got the Gabriel points as well. And he'd have been feeling that since the minute the game, the Manchester City game started on the first game of the week. I think I've given you enough airtime to really relive this, Brox. Congratulations. That is a comfortable. Ooh. Oh, that is a comfortable hurt award. Sorry to everyone else that tried so hard to win the award off him there, but that's definitely got to be the worst emotional roller coaster.
Well, I think we're in agreement, and absolutely delighted to give Will Broxton that time. Lovely, lovely to hear his name.
I'm going to make sure that I clip this bit because he's definitely one of those people that's not going to listen, and he's had a bad week, and he's had a bad week. So that will be going out as a short later on today's directly to his inbox. Right. Do you have some tinkering and some planning to do? How are you feeling about this upcoming super exciting part of the season?
I am in one of those moods where I've got a dinner tonight, which could get quite boozy. I want to delete the app. I want to force myself not to look at the team because if I do, the no De Bruyne FOMO might get to me, and suddenly I start doing too much tinkering. The plan has always
I
been to roll
mean,
this week. I am very, very happy with where I am for next week. And you've played the wild card. You can't move away from that plan too easily. And if I take Saka out away at Burnley to go to KDB, it just feels like a recipe for disaster. And I think I've got made my bed. Let's lie in it. Let's see how we go.
older listeners, that will be a real shock to hear. It was minus four Maxwell has well and truly died. And we're now in a much more mature, dare I say, boring version of Tom, who's really focused on getting the W. I was planning a listener to do this pod without Tom, but he's managed to find time, which has been fantastic because no one wants to hear my monotone voice all by itself. And I was going to review what this title race looks like. This, for me, is going to be one of the most exciting parts because your two teams, while separated by a hair, they're pretty different. And that was the point of your wild card. It's not including the inevitable transfers. It's Watkins versus Tony with the double. Palmer did well last week for Damien, but are we expecting that again? Palmer versus Neto, Foden's in both, the KDB FOMO for both of you guys, but it's in defense where there's a real difference here. So we've got a TAA problem for Damien and a potential Pedro Porro, I can say, because this will go out off the deadline as usual, versus Virgil van Dijk. Gabriel is no longer a differentiator between the two of you. It's a double Newcastle defence on one side versus a double starting Virgil on the other. I mean, I am a betting man, and that's not even including the benches here. He's not pulled the wild card. You'd assume he's not going to this week. It's going to be really interesting to see how the next 2 weeks pan out at the top of the table and who's made the right choice. I, for one, are looking forward to seeing how we go towards the end of this month. That's a good point to end it, my friend. How are you feeling?
All good, all good. I think, as you say, the wild card was pulled very specifically to try and regain some momentum after having lost the lead, knowing that he almost certainly wasn't going to need to pull a wild card. The Trent news certainly, I think, has given me maybe a smidgen extra advantage, but his team is still really strong, and there are plenty of single game players there that could outscore. Someone like Doherty could very easily score 0 points across two games. So let's see. Let's see. Triple captain's going to be in play for plenty as well. Let's see how that goes. But no, it's going to be a really fun next sort of 4 or 5 weeks, I think.
I'm still on that dilemma, triple captain versus going with a bench boost. Quick look at the other runners and riders because I did want to give everyone a bit of justice. Massive moves from Harry. Well done, you, despite the joking about it being better lucky than good. He's also got that two defender nightmare and he's on a -4 the previous week, so doesn't have the transfers. Stephen, always well organized. Hill, unlucky with the same defender, which he had the auto sub for Saliba, so obviously luck there as well. He looks like he's fairly poised with at least three doublers at the moment for four doublers going into this game week. Hasn't pulled his wild card yet, still to go. Dylan, I don't believe is wild carded either, isn't also in touching distance. No massive red flags in his team. A couple of random people for the double, including a certain Bell, which I think is definitely going to be a zero pointer there overall. So, yeah, going to be an exciting week or two. Looking forward to seeing you on the other side of this game week.
Excellent. Thank you, pal. Let's speak next week.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.